Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hello, my name is Rebecca, and I am the youth pastor here at Living Waters Church. I'm so glad that you have joined us today. I'm going to begin by reading our scripture. It's found in John chapter 10, verse 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. A couple of months ago, I went with a friend to watch The Sheep Detectives. Maybe you've seen it. If you haven't, it's about a beloved shepherd named George Hardy who loves reading murder mysteries to his sheep, never thinking that they can understand him. When George is found dead under mysterious circumstances, the sheep decide to solve the crime themselves. At one point in the movie, three sheep, Lily, Sebastian, and Mopple, are walking past a church in the village. Lily looks at the building and asks, "What is this?" Sebastian replies, "This is the church where someone named God lives." Lily naturally asks, "Who's God?" Sebastian says, "It's a bit confusing. God is a shepherd." Mopple chimes in, "So he could be our shepherd?" "No," Sebastian says, "because he's also a lamb." Lily's understandably confused. Then Sebastian continues, "And he's also invisible, and he's made of bread, and he damns things." Lily mishears him and asks, "Damns things? Like a beaver?" Sebastian simply replies, "Yes." So Lily concludes, "God is a big invisible lamb beaver made of bread?" "Yes," Sebastian says, "and they eat him on Sundays." Mopple's response is my favorite, "Poor God." When we hear Christianity explained from a sheep's perspective, it sounds pretty confusing. And if we're honest, if someone heard Jesus' words without understanding the story behind them, they might sound just as confusing. Think about it. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the vine." On the surface, those are strange statements. But Jesus wasn't speaking in riddles. Each image revealed something profound about who he is and why he came. That's exactly what we're exploring in this series. I am, we are. Each of Jesus's I am statements reveals something about his identity. And as we see Jesus more clearly, we also begin to understand who we are. This morning we came to one of the most beloved of those statements. I am the good shepherd. For many of us, those are familiar words. We've seen them on paintings, read them in children's Bibles, and heard them countless times in church. They're comforting. But to the people listening to Jesus that day, they weren't merely comforting. They were astonishing. Jesus is speaking to a crowd that includes his disciples, ordinary people, and religious leaders of Israel. The chapter begins just after Jesus has healed a man born blind, an act that exposed the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees. They were supposed to be caring for God's people, but instead they'd rejected both the man Jesus healed and Jesus himself. It's in that context that Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." He isn't choosing a random illustration. He's contrasting himself with Israel's failed shepherds and making a bold claim about who he is. So what did Jesus mean when he said, "I am the good shepherd"? As we look at this passage together, Jesus reveals four truths about himself as the good shepherd. First, Jesus is the shepherd God promised. The image of a shepherd wasn't new. Long before Jesus spoke these words, God had revealed himself as the shepherd of his people. Throughout the Old Testament, God is described as a shepherd. Probably the most familiar example is Psalm 23, where David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." For generations, God's people found comfort in the truth that the Lord himself was their shepherd, the one who led them, provided for them, protected them, and was with them even in the darkest valleys. But not every shepherd in Israel reflected God's heart. In Ezekiel 34, God confronts Israel's leaders for being bad shepherds. Instead of caring for God's people, they cared only for themselves. They neglected the weak, they exploited the vulnerable, and scattered the flock. In response, God makes an incredible promise. "I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them." God promises that one day he himself will come to rescue his people and give them the shepherd they've been longing for. So when Jesus, the descendant of David and God in the flesh, stands before the crowd and says, "I am the good shepherd," he's declaring that he's the fulfillment of God's promise. He is the shepherd of Psalm 23. He is the shepherd promised in Ezekiel 34. He is the one God said would come. There are two small words in Jesus' statement that I want to highlight. The first word is "the." Throughout Israel's history, there had been many shepherds: Moses, David, the prophets, the kings, and religious leaders. Some were faithful, many were not. Here, Jesus isn't claiming to be one shepherd among many or first among equals. He is claiming to be the shepherd, the one that God promised would come. The second word in Jesus' statement I'd like to highlight for us is the word "good." Throughout the Old Testament, the shepherd has been described in many positive ways, but never as the good shepherd. This is the first time we see that. The Greek word kalos, or good, means morally good, noble, or beautiful. Jesus isn't simply saying he's a morally good shepherd. He's saying he is the true, beautiful, noble shepherd, the one every other shepherd pointed toward. So what makes Jesus the good shepherd? This brings us to the second truth Jesus reveals about himself. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. In these verses, Jesus repeats this truth four times, which tells us it's central to understanding who he is. The phrase "to lay down one's life" means exactly what it sounds like: to willingly give yourself over to death. In John's gospel, Jesus describes this as the greatest expression of love. "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends," John 15:13. Here's where Jesus is completely different from every other shepherd. Most shepherds protect their sheep by fighting off predators. Jesus protects his sheep by laying down his life for them. Why? Because he loves them. His death isn't a failure of his mission. It is his mission. Jesus contrasts himself with the hired hand. When danger comes, the hired hand runs away because the sheep don't belong to him. His concern is his own safety. But Jesus doesn't run. He stands between the wolf and the sheep. He willingly takes their place. His death is personal. He dies for those who belong to him. Some of us know what it's like to be abandoned. We know what it's like for people to walk away when life gets hard. We know what it's like to face pain alone. But that's not the Good Shepherd. Unlike the hired hand, he doesn't run. As New Testament scholar Marianne May Thompson writes, precisely because the shepherd faithfully guards his sheep, he puts himself in their place, willingly facing death so that they may live. That's what makes Jesus the Good Shepherd. He doesn't merely risk his life for the sheep, he gives it. Let's not miss what Jesus says just a few verses later. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Jesus' life wasn't taken from him. He willingly laid it down. His death wasn't the result of circumstances spinning out of control or human beings ultimately getting the upper hand. It was the loving plan of the Father, willingly embraced by the Son, so that through his death and resurrection, his sheep might have life. At first glance, that doesn't seem to make much sense at all, does it? After all, a dead shepherd can't offer much protection. But that's precisely the point. The Good Shepherd doesn't remain dead. He is alive. Because he lives, his sheep live also. So what kind of protection does Jesus provide? Not simply from wolves, but from something far greater. His death and resurrection become our protection. Protection from what? From sin, death, and separation from God. The protection Jesus offers isn't just for the here and now. It has eternal significance. The Good Shepherd doesn't promise that his sheep will never experience hardship, suffering, or even physical death in this life. Followers of Jesus still get sick, we still grieve, and we still die. But Jesus came to rescue us from something far greater than anything this world can do to us. Through his death and resurrection, he defeats sin, conquers death, and reconciles us to God. The Good Shepherd protects his sheep in the deepest and most lasting way possible by giving them eternal life. For some of us, the idea of Jesus as our protector is especially meaningful because we've spent much of our lives feeling unprotected. Maybe no one stood up for us. Maybe no one stepped in when we needed them the most. Maybe we needed someone to speak up for us, but they stayed silent. Maybe we've learned that when life gets hard, the people we thought would stay, leave. Jesus is nothing like that. He stepped into the line of fire. He willingly took our place. God himself took on flesh, not to save his own life, but to lay it down so that we might have life. My mom died just over a year ago. It was and continues to be the hardest thing I've ever walked through. In the midst of my grief, there's one truth that has brought me deep peace. Because my mom belonged to Jesus, death was not the end of her story. Though she died physically, she is alive with Christ. She is no longer experiencing pain or suffering. She is with her Good Shepherd. That's what Jesus came to accomplish. He laid down his life so that those who belong to him would have eternal life. It doesn't remove the pain of loss, but it transforms it with hope. The third truth Jesus reveals about himself is this: he is the good shepherd who knows his sheep. Jesus says in verse 14 to 15, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." The word "know" is rich with meaning. It speaks of a personal, intimate relationship. It goes far beyond simply knowing facts about someone. In Scripture, this same word is even used to describe the intimacy of marriage. It speaks of a deep, personal relationship marked by love, trust, and belonging. Then Jesus says something incredible. "Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." Just as. Think about that for a moment. Jesus doesn't simply know about his sheep. He doesn't just know facts about us, what we like on our pizza, our favorite color, or even which Spice Girl is our favorite. Mine is Sporty Spice, if you want to know. He knows us. He knows us in a relationship that reflects in a creaturely way the loving relationship he shares with the Father. It's not identical in degree. We could never share the eternal relationship of the Father and of the Son, but it is similar in kind. It is a relationship of love, belonging, intimacy, and being fully known. Now, I realize that being fully known can be scary. Many of us spend much of our lives trying to present the best version of ourselves. We wear masks to hide our failures, our fears, our doubts, and our sin, because we're afraid that if people really knew us, they wouldn't want anything to do with us. And yet, at the same time, we long to be known and loved, not for the version of ourselves we project to the world, but for who we truly are. Jesus says, "I know my sheep." He knows us completely. There's nothing hidden from him. He knows every failure, every fear, every doubt, every sin, and every sorrow. And knowing all that, he doesn't walk away. Unlike the hired hand, he doesn't abandon us to the wolf that lurks waiting to devour us. Instead, he lays down his life for us. As Paul writes in Romans 5:8, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The good shepherd doesn't love an idealized version of us. He loves the real you, the real me. And that's why he went to the cross, to forgive our sin, to remove our shame, to reconcile us to the Father and lead us into the freedom of life with him. How beautiful is that? But Jesus doesn't just say, "I know my sheep." He also says, "My sheep know me." That's worth noting here because this relationship goes both ways. Jesus knows us personally and intimately, and he invites us to know him personally and intimately as well. The good shepherd doesn't simply come near to us. He invites us to come near to him. He invites us to trust him, walk with him, listen for his voice, and enjoy the security of being known and loved by him. The final truth Jesus reveals about himself is that he is the good shepherd who gathers other sheep. This speaks to his mission: to seek, gather, and unite all who belong to him. So who are these other sheep Jesus speaks about? They are all those who will believe in him. Jews and Gentiles, women, men, children, those who seem to have life all together and those whose lives feel like they're falling apart. People from every tribe, every nation, every language, and every generation, those who came before us and those who will come after us. Jesus says, I must bring them also. In other words, gathering his sheep isn't an optional part of his ministry. It is the very reason he came. As Marianne May Thompson writes, finding and gathering these other sheep completes the work of the shepherd. Throughout his death and resurrection, Jesus creates one flock under one shepherd. Everyone who hears his voice and follows him belongs to him. The cross doesn't just reconcile us to God, it reconciles us to one another. In Jesus, we become one family, united under the loving care of the Good Shepherd. Because Jesus is the Good Shepherd, God promised would come, we are protected from eternal death, known and deeply loved by him, and gathered into one flock under one shepherd. And those who do not yet belong to him are invited to hear his voice and become part of his flock. In the Sheep Detectives, there's a little lamb whom the shepherd dearly loves, but the rest of the flock doesn't fully accept him because he's a winter lamb. And winter lambs are different than the sheep born in the spring. As the story unfolds, though, the flock comes to realize something beautiful. If the shepherd loves him, then he belongs. He belongs to the shepherd and he belongs to them. Maybe there are some of you who feel like the little winter lamb. Maybe you feel like you don't belong. Maybe you carry shame from your past, or you think you're too broken, too different, or too far gone to ever be accepted. Jesus says something very different. I am the good shepherd. I laid down my life for you. I know you completely, and I love you completely. Come and follow me. If you do, you won't simply find a place to belong. You'll find the good shepherd who has been pursuing you all along, and you'll discover that there's room for you in his flock. Following Jesus doesn't mean that we're going to have it all figured out or that we'll change overnight. Real transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus simply invites us to take the first step, to trust him and to follow him. Would you close your eyes for a moment? The Good Shepherd is calling. He is still gathering his sheep. If you'd like to respond to his invitation, to place your trust in Jesus and begin following him, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, thank you for being my Good Shepherd. Thank you for laying down your life for me, for knowing me and for loving me. Thank you for inviting me into your flock. Today I choose to hear your voice, place my trust in you and follow you. Forgive my sin, make me new, and help me follow you from this day forward. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, I'd encourage you to tell somebody. Talk to a trusted Christian friend, a pastor, or someone who can help you begin your journey of following Jesus. God never intended for us to follow him alone, and we'd love to help you take your next steps. Thank you for joining us today. God bless.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.